I am the speaker getter for 7 o'clock. Let's rock.
You want to say something? Yeah, what do you say?
Getting shy. Okay, so I want to introduce Helen, who's coming all the way in from the East Coast this evening. I heard her speak in April, and I was really, so I'm really excited to have her here tonight. And so I'd like to turn it over to Helen on Zoom, and here we go. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Matt. I'm not a very good speaker, but my higher power wants me to speak. I had met Matt at international convention where one night when I was in a really bad place, I got an email about doing service at international convention. And I always heard through this program, service is the way to take you out of whatever you're feeling. So I signed up for service. I thought I was going to be a greeter. I thought I was just going to be, hi, how you doing? But instead, my higher power thought that I should speak. And what the topic was breaking isolation. And I realized that my higher power knows exactly what I need. And I came into this program October of 2019, right before the pandemic. And I was in a really, really bad place. My daughter was suffering from this disease, and I never saw it as a disease before I came into the rooms. I always saw it as just stop drinking, you know, and the more I said, nothing was happening. And what really made me decide to go to Al-Anon was I was away with my sister on a time away, and she drove me crazy. And the next day was the day that I walked into an Al-Anon meeting, and I haven't left since. And what I am finding is I'm discovering myself. And another higher power moment is my birthday's tomorrow. Nobody had an idea, but maybe my higher power is telling me my Al-Anon family needs to say happy birthday, because it's my Al-Anon family that has pulled me through some very, very, very tough times. So I go off to international convention and I speak, and the room was full of people. And I've probably only talked three times. I go to a meeting every single day and every single night that I found through the pandemic, SYDR, NYDR. And my other family is Hawaii, because when I couldn't sleep at night, I literally would go on meetings. And like for 3 years, I would go to meetings at 2 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep. It was like either I sleep and let my head spin, or I get up out of bed and get on a meeting and hear what I need to hear through my higher power. So fast forward, I still suffer from the disease of meddling in people's business. That's why I have to keep coming back. I have come to realize that my husband and I are codependent on each other. We've been together since I'm 18 years old. We've been together 46 years. And the more I keep coming back, the more I see I was born into this disease. I was born into it. And I have so much compassion now and acceptance of my family members that are in a different place than me. And I also see my reactions like how I used to react to things, that I would just escalate a situation because I had a clue I was right. What difference does it make if I'm the one that's coming out feeling like crap? So that is one lesson I have learned. Another thing that I learned is I started, let it begin with me. And my husband went with me to my first Al-Anon meeting. And we would go once a week to those Al-Anon meetings. And then the pandemic hit. And during the pandemic, my husband didn't go to Al-Anon meetings because of his profession. He didn't feel he could go on Zoom. And I kept going and kept going and kept going. And then the pandemic, you know, the room started opening. And he goes, are you going to come back to the meeting? And I said, no. I said, you need to go to your own meetings and I need to go to my own meetings. And by doing that, I'm finding that our communication is a little bit better. And I spoke at International about all my children have been afflicted by some type of obsessive compulsive behavior. And I wish I had this program when my son was ill, because I did everything you weren't supposed to do. And he wasn't afflicted by this disease. He had some other issues. And doctors would tell me I was crazy because he was a man. And men don't suffer from those things. And that was, you know, 35 years ago. And it definitely did affect my son and my relationship. And right now I'm trying to work on ways to fix our relationship. But it's all in God's time. It's not my time. So fast forward, I had spoken on International Convention about how, you know, I was doing service and my daughter is 3 years sober, thank God. And my daughter wanted a dog when she came home. She had moved back in with us. She had moved back in with us. She was away at college for years and then was with a boyfriend in college, and her disease just escalated. And, you know, family members were like, you need to force her to come home. Again, I couldn't force her to come home. That much I did know, and that was before the program. So fast forward, she did decide to come home and she wanted a dog. And my first thing was, I'll get her a dog because I got a dog for my son when he was sick and it really helped him. But through the gift of this program, I knew I didn't want a dog. And for the first time, I started putting myself first. I started putting myself instead of my kids, because my life was basically just taking care of everybody and not taking care of myself. I grew up, I'm one of six children. I was number five out of six. And my dad delivered me in the home across the street where I moved. And my mother was bipolar. And there's different situations in our home where I knew my higher power was with me through the whole time. I was always very spiritual, but I was raised in, my parents were immigrants from Ireland, and I was raised in a religion now I see as a punishing God. And it was a fearful God for me. But as I grow, I've always been spiritual. But I had the anxiety of not trusting myself, that if I didn't believe in a certain thing the way I was grown up to believe, then I wasn't doing it right. And the more I keep coming back to this program, the more self-esteem I build, that I don't have to be perfect. I can have a really bad day, and it doesn't mean I'm going outside of the program. It's just a bad day. It's my feelings. And this morning I had to call my sponsor because I just was not in a really good place. And am I doing the program right? I don't know. But whatever it's doing, it's helping. My daughter is living with us. And when I get back from international convention, my daughter's pregnant. I was pregnant, and I was coming home to a baby instead of a dog. The higher power wanted me to have a baby in the home. And the day after I got from the international convention, my daughter wound up in the hospital, and she wasn't due for 2 weeks. And my head could go to all the bad stuff. Like, what could really happen? What could go on? But instead of going there, I would put earphones in my ears and I would just listen to meetings as I was in the hospital watching. And a lot of my reason for listening to meetings is I can't see. All I can do is listen because I'm not a listener. But the more I keep coming back, the more I'm gaining the listening skills. So fast forward, on the third day of her being in the hospital, they decided that they had to induce her because they weren't sure if her organs were going to shut down. And the blessing of this program is I got to witness the birth of my grandson, which if I wasn't in this program, I don't think I would have got to witness that. But the real witness is my dad delivered me 62 years ago. And I can like really see what my mom probably went through of having my father deliver me, her sixth child. I was born at home, and I have so much compassion for my mom now. And did God want me to experience that? Just seeing the whole thing, for me to have more compassion. And I have so much compassion for anyone suffering from the disease of alcoholism. Because it's not, for me, it's not easy to keep my mouth shut. How hard must it be for the alcoholic to not take the next drink? And it was through coming to this program that I learned this compassion. Because before the program, I have a brother-in-law who still suffers from the disease. My husband has 5 siblings who have been afflicted by this disease. And I never saw it as a disease until it hit my own child. And with that, I keep coming back, and you know, you hear, if you're asked to do service, don't say no, you know? And I always think I have nothing to say. You know, like, what would anyone want to hear from me? And that's because that's what I heard through my whole life. And if I asked for help from my family when my mom was in dire straits, My dad died, you know, 23 years prior. Then my sister died in my arms. And then my mother went downhill. And it was tough. And I was asking family for help. And all I was hearing was, you're looking for mom's approval. And even if I was looking for my mom's approval, I know if I called out to an Al-Anon friend for help, there's going to be no judgment as to why I need that help. They're just going to show up if they can show up. And my sponsor, who is on my spiritual journey with me, and sometimes I think I'm not good enough because I'm not doing things the way you're supposed to, according. But is there a supposed to in this program? There is no supposed to, because all of us learn in different ways. Just like if somebody has a disability, they're going to learn in different ways. And I hate to read, hate it. And I realize one of the reasons I hate to read, and I hated school. I literally hated school. So I kind of think, I always thought I was really stupid and less than, but I hated school. Because I was molested by a school bus driver. And it wasn't until I was 40 years old when I was suffering from night terrors. And the night terrors were getting so bad. But my husband worked the graveyard shift and he never knew what I was going through. Until one night, he was off. And I almost beat him up in my sleep. Because it was always in his family, don't think about anything and it'll go away. It'll go away. And I remember telling him that I felt I needed to go on medication because I was in a really bad place. And I had gone to a spiritual retreat. And as I was on that spiritual retreat, I felt like it was in a church and they said something and I walked out of the church. And as I walked out of the church, and God be my witness, I really felt like I was being carried back into the church by angels. And I went back into the church and I had spoken to a priest and I went for help. And you know, I did go on medication for a little while, but it just didn't work for me. And the whole thing with my experience of Al-Anon is, if I want help, I can get it anywhere. And when I first came into the program right before the pandemic, I was going to go away on a retreat. It was a retreat in like a camp that I don't know. And I was going away to this retreat. And I was really in a bad place as I was going to the retreat. And I just Googled. I was going from New York to Maryland, but I was going to Virginia to meet my friend. And as I was going to Virginia to meet my friend, I knew I needed a meeting before I went to meet my friend. And I pulled into this meeting. And I went to the meeting and everybody welcomed me. That's the beauty of Al-Anon, is that no matter where you go and what you do, you're always welcome. You may not like all of us, but you'll love us in a very special way. And I came out of that meeting. I still remember the face of the gentleman that was there. And I came out of that meeting and I got back on the parkway. And as I got back on the parkway, there was a truck in front of me, written in dirt on the back of the truck, "Put God first." Was that my, you know, spirituality for me to keep me coming back? No, that was me when I got home, being able to tell my child, "You can't live with me if you don't go to hell." Was it scary? Yeah, it was. Because after I told her that, I got called to her job. And my daughter was taken away in an ambulance, and I had no idea if she was going to make it or not. And that was through being able to stay in the moment. And I thought at that point, "Oh, this is great. She's going to the hospital. They're going to put her in rehab. You know, this, that, and the other." 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call. "You got to come pick up your daughter." And what I'm learning through this program is that we're all in different places in my family. We're all in totally different places. And as my sponsor told me this morning, I have to accept that everybody's where they're supposed to be at this time. Even on those days when I get crazy and things are just really tough, I can't reach out to somebody in my family. I have to call an Al-Anon friend to reason it out. Because an Al-Anon friend won't judge me, won't give me advice unless I ask for it. And I'm just grateful for the program. And I'm actually grateful for the pandemic. Because my true thing of the pandemic is, would I have gotten some type of recovery so fast if I didn't have Zoom? Because when the pandemic hit, it wasn't only my daughter suffering from the disease. My whole family, my 2 children and my husband, were in a profession where the world was bonkers at that time. And I thought I was going to lose my family in a matter of 24 hours. And instead of me staying in my crazy head, I just put my earphones on and I went from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. I literally just walked around the house all day with my earphones in. I even built a bathroom with my earphones in because I realized that I need to hear things. And that's what I'm grateful for about this program in Zoom. And that's why I keep coming back. This is the first thing in my life that I committed to for me. And when I first started doing Zoom, my family told me I was getting worse. Of course I was getting worse because I was changing the steps in the dance. Because the steps in the dance before for me was the jitterbug. And I want to do the waltz in my life then. So if I keep coming back And it every time I hear the steps, it makes me think of 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 is the steps in a waltz. But 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 is me and my spirituality of letting go and letting God. And do I do it perfect? No, not at all. But when I do make a mistake, I have the awareness of it now, where before I played the victim. And the only way I can be a victim anymore is if I choose to be a victim. And with that, I'm grateful that everybody accepts me into their meetings, no matter where I am, and no matter where I am that day. And with that, I'm going to close and just say thank you for letting me be a part of your meeting. But most of all, thank you for making me feel like a human being again, and that I have something to contribute. So thank you, everybody.